Hello and welcome back to the Chochmat Nashim podcast. I'm Ann Gordon, here today with
Shoshana Keats-Jaskel.
We've missed you. We were on a very brief hiatus for the very best of reasons. Shoshana, we would like to wish you, I would like to wish you a mazal tov on the wedding of your son to your new daughter-in-law. A beautiful wedding in the Judean hills. We wish you joy and rejoicing from your additions to your family. And it was really great fun at the wedding as well. We're making the announcement public, not only as an excuse for why we didn't have an episode when you might have expected one, but also because we've had a lot going on, right? This is just the tip of the iceberg. Before we get to our topic today, we want to also give you all some update on Lana King. Shoshana, why don't you do that?
It's so horrible. You know, like, I also feel a little bit of embarrassment that me, who even, you know, eats, breathes and sleeps this topic of Agunot and women who are being refused and men who are being refused to get so much, we also don't live it the way people who are actually, unfortunately, you know, stuck live it. And we forget that there are people who are still living it every single day, mamash. So Lana Kin has been denied a get for over 18 years now by Mayor Kin, who is remarried bigamously.
18 years is nuts.
18 years is psychotic. It's
like, literally, I just want to stop and note that 18 years is like the life of a child till they leave your house. You know, they've graduated high school. Yeah. That's crazy.
Absolutely.
Okay, fine. Yes, go on. 100%. Meaning we knew it was crazy. But
no, so 18 plus years she's been denied a get by Mayor Kin, who is remarried bigamously, I think that's a word, in Vegas to another woman on a sham heter mea rabbanim, which, if you don't know, heter mea rabbanim is a concept where if a man gets 100 rabbis to sign on that he can get remarried, he can get remarried. Because according to Torah law, a man can have more than one wife. Only because Rabbeinu Gershom over 1,000 years ago outlawed marrying more than one wife. Do we not do it?
Which only the Ashkenazim took on, by the way.
Yes, but until when they made Aliyah, the Sephardim, I mean, they didn't drop their second wives, but really these most recent generations haven't really done so. But yes, there are 100%. There are Sephardi and Yemenite and other communities that never heard of Rabbeinu Gershom did continue to marry more than one wife. In any case, it's not okay now. He's doing it while he's chaining Lana. She has been fighting this for many years. She and her family for a very long time have done truly everything within their power. And now there has been for a while a cherem, an excommunication edict on Mayor himself and his family who supports him. And this includes Jewish burial, meaning they can be denied Jewish burial in a Jewish cemetery until he gives the get. That is sanctioned by the Rabbinical Council of California. So the Kins have burial plots here in Israel. And what Lana is trying to do is to make a ban on their being able to come and be buried until Mayor gives the get. Her case is now currently going to be heard in the Supreme Court because everyone, including Rav Lau, who is the chief Ashkenazi rabbi, does support this rather uncomfortable step. I mean, no one's going to say that this is something we want to do. This is not the solution. But truly, at this point, they're trying to do everything they can to get Mayor to give the get because he clearly doesn't care. And so they're in the Supreme Court to enable Israel to stop the burial until Mayor gives the get. Everyone is in favor of this except Rav Yitzchak Yosef, who is the current Sephardi chief rabbi. It's devastating and upsetting. And I think I'd like to say for the record that nobody here wants to deny someone a burial. It's not that we're saying that we want to get revenge. It's not that we're saying that, you know, magielahem, like, you know, does they deserve it? But rather, it's such a desperate case at this point. He's already remarried. He doesn't care what the community thinks. He couldn't care less that he's doing wrong. So how do we free her in a way that is acceptable, by the way, to everyone? Because of course, halachically, we can free her. She's married to a psychopath. But
that's not enough.
Too many people don't acknowledge the halachic tools of bitul kiddushin. And so she would like very much to get a get that no one's going to say to her, it's not kosher. So this is what she's trying to do. And I, whether I like it or not, whether I believe this is a solution or not, I am going to stand next to Lana and I'm going to do my best to say this situation is unacceptable and we have to do everything we can to make it right. That's basically how I feel. So let the state of Israel know that we care about the rights of Agunot and we want solutions now.
It all comes back to the issue that if you are the woman who is being refused a get, it is very, very hard to find leverage to negotiate your position. Meaning the bottom line is that it's never been an equal negotiating table, even though that's what it should be. Meaning that's what divorce is a difficult thing. It should be an equal negotiating table at the very, very least. Okay. I can't say we're going to table this conversation because it's ongoing, but we're going to table it for now. I want to ask you something else, Shoshana. It's come up in conversations that I've had recently, and I'm sure it comes up for you all the time because you're talking about these things even more than I do. You know, we've been talking about erasing women and the implications of erasing women for society and the factors that lead to erasing women to begin with. We've been talking about it for so long at this point, right? Chokhmat Nashim began 9 years ago. We're going on a decade, Shoshana. And I feel like still there are people out there, and probably maybe not even the people listening to our podcast. You have to spread the word, people, because we know that you know, because you're the ones listening, that this connection, right? And we talk about this. What are the implications for erasing women for society at large? And how could erasing women have ever come about to begin with? Isn't that a lunatic kind of thing to happen? And I feel like I want to go over it again, because I remember back in the day when you made this connection, meaning everybody found out erasing women outrageous, but you made the connection that erasing women led to all kinds of other things. If women are not seen and their voices are not heard, then their needs are not met. And it took a while till it sunk in, even for those of us who are in the conversation intimately, and I think all the more so for people who are not. And I think that not everybody yet accepts this or understands how bad this can be. What does it mean to erase women? And I think we see some of these cases in Israel in such a stark, absurd kind of way, right? When a women's health clinic has the word women erased, I mean, like graffitied out, that's absurd. What does it mean? The doctors inside are still treating the women who show up to the health clinic, right? So I'm going to put you on the spot and ask you to draw the lines first, you know, connect the dots for
connect
us.
Connect the
again.
Dots? It's so funny, you know, because I think I've said this on the podcast before, but I'll say it again because it's been a while. When we watched the Ruth Bader Ginsburg movie, documentary, she said that most of her job for the first number of years, she felt like a kindergarten teacher because she was literally regurgitating the same information over and over and over again until people got it. And so for a long time, that's really what we did. We just kept talking about, you said it perfectly, when women are not seen, their voices are not heard, and their needs are not met. And so just to make that clear, what does that mean? When you have a decision that needs to be made, whatever that decision is, if there are people who are affected by that decision in a certain way, but not in other ways making that decision, they're going to miss half of the story. There's no question. It doesn't matter who you are, right, wrong, or indifferent, good person, bad person. You're going to miss it because you don't experience it. Okay.
I'm going to interrupt you to give you a very concrete example, which I have always loved, that has nothing to do with Chokhmat Nashim, but it does have to do with women, which is, I don't even know where or when. It was some time ago. Some building was establishing bathrooms, and they were going to have men's bathrooms and women's bathrooms, as businesses and organizations often do, something that's large enough. And they knew, right, that a woman's bathroom is a little different than a men's bathroom. And they made sure that there were stalls, for example, in the women's bathroom. What they didn't do was put in the machines for sanitary products, because there was no woman on the committee. Now, this was a fashla. It was a real blunder. And nobody meant any harm, right? It was all well-intentioned. But had any woman been there, they would have said, yo, we need something else in that room as well.
Well, I think my favorite part of the story is that when the women told the men about it and then the machine came and like you had to pay for them, the guys were like, you have to pay for this stuff? And the women were like, oh, my God. Oh, my goodness. You know, it's funny to say that now, because I think nowadays everyone's like tries to be more woke in certain ways, like trying to like make sure that you think of the other. And I have to say there's something really positive about that. But the underlying truth is there. If you don't experience life the way someone else experiences life, whether it's someone who's hard of hearing or someone who is handicapped, you simply will not understand their needs. And so you do have to have all of these people on the committees to make the plans in order to make sure that everyone is being served by the policy, by the building, by the whatever it is. What we have, though, is something even worse. Because it's one thing if, you know, there's nobody there by accident, but we're having an extreme deliberate exclusion of women and marginalization of women. And more than that, saying you don't belong here. And when you say you don't belong here and you say that to people who really have been trained their whole lives to be to lavater, to demavater, as you say,
to be self-effacing of their own needs.
Yes. And to, you know, and to be like, you know, I'm not that I'm less important, but there's a positive midah, there's a positive characteristic that we're taught of being self-effacing, of saying it's okay, you can have.
So or to be self-sacrificing. I'm going to sacrifice on my immediate need for the good of the family, for the good of the husband, for the good of society at large. I'm not going to focus on me. That's selfish. That's rude, right? And I'm not in favor of any being selfish or rude. But we also know that, right, healthy confidence means that you have to have an awareness of
and just advocating for yourself and for others who are like you, right? Like there's things that you and I can say lema'an other people, for other people. You know, by the way, you should think about this, that, and the other thing. Whether, you know, it's because we're moms or because we're women or because we're Jews or because we're whatever it is. And we're thinking of it. I think what's important to understand is that it's not just a picture. There's a real pushback by some people who are like, why do you have to be in pictures? Which is clearly an absurd thing to say. And it's very dismissive. But beyond that, it's so much more than a picture. I mean, if you can look at a picture of a family at Shabbat, and there's only a father and boys and a family in whatever situation you want to say, and there's no consistently no women, no girls, no women, no girls, no women, no girls, that has an effect not only on the girls and the women, but also on the men and the boys. And I think that's something we don't talk about enough at all. I have written about it, but we don't talk about it. So we have spoken about it actually on the podcast. But there is something, as you mentioned, Anne, you need to keep repeating that to remove the image of a woman, of a girl, is to say that they are not important, is to say that they can't be seen. And yes, despite a conversation I had recently, is sexualizing them by saying seeing them is not okay. We are creating the thing we are saying we want not to have.
By removing women and girls from the public sphere in certain publications, certain aspects of society. And I understand that for a large number of our listeners are like, but that's the Haredi world. That's not our world. And we've talked about the creep, right? And how these policies have affected modern Orthodox publications and that world as well for a long, long time. I mean, I know that we're beating a horse that I was really hoping was dead, but, but when the women are not there, when the girls are not there, the men and the boys don't see women and girls, meaning that's like it's a tautology. But what happens then is that any glimmer of a sight of women and girls at that Shabbos table in a publication that is totally innocent, like a total innocuous anything, becomes unnatural. It becomes the centerfold, right? You'll forgive me, right? Meaning the sight of a woman with Kisui Rosh blessing the Shabbos candles becomes a racy image because, ooh la la, it's a woman, right? Like that is a real corruption of people's well-being.
It's an excellent, excellent way that you just said. It's a corruption of their well-being and the natural order of things and the way Hashem created the world. And I want to tell you something. Someone recently said to me, like, I love the Jewish photo bank. It's really beautiful. I love the pictures. But do you really think Mishpacha is going to start using them? So to that, I want to tell you this. We did not make the Jewish Photo Bank for Mishpacha magazine. We made the Jewish Life Photo Bank for people who, first of all, want images that they could not find. Because if you Google religious women, you're only going to find a woman in hijab, a nun, or maybe that one Nebuch Hasidic lady who got her picture taken as she's, you know, walking down in Brooklyn. For people who want it and want to use them. For the community itself, by the way, and it's almost like when you're in a fishbowl, when you're that lobster, I should say, pardon the treif analogy, but when you're that lobster in the water and you don't realize that you're boiling until it's too late. People have said to me when they see the pictures on the Jewish Life Photo Bank, and I really encourage all of you to go to the computer or your phone and type in jewishlifephotos.com. Look at the pictures on this site and tell me how they make you feel. Because women have said to me, and men, these pictures are so beautiful and so natural that I'm crying realizing how far we've gotten that I haven't seen a picture like this in I don't know how long. And they're just pictures of women and girls and families, couples doing natural things.
I'll tell you one further. The world we live in is much more visual in terms of its media than the world was, I don't know how long ago, 30 years, 50 years, whatever it is, meaning the phenomenon of the computers being able to handle image and video and so on has made all of us much more both susceptible, but also it's normalized seeing pictures in a way that once upon a time would never have happened because the technology wasn't there to make it easy. And therefore, when pictures are missing, the impact of them is greater than back in the day when there were no pictures to begin with, not of an elephant and not of a garden and not of a man and not of a woman. But now all those other things are there. There's that lovely family of the man with the boys. And where's the mom? Where are the sisters?
We almost create our reality when we do that, Anne. Like those visuals create the reality, or at least create what we think should be the way it should be.
So to me, the greatest strength of the Jewish Life Photo Bank is not only that people can use it, and I've used it, right? Meaning it's a great resource. But besides that, what it also does is it reminds people that this is what should be in use. That saying that women should be erased, that women are erased, but what can we do about it? We have to throw up our hands and say, oy nebuch, there's nothing to do. We can't fight the establishment. The answer is, you don't have to fight the establishment. You just do what needs to be done. And then the images are there. And then everybody can say, oh, look, we don't erase women because we don't erase women.
Right. So just to that person, in response to the mishpacha, I said, first of all, they exist because these people want to use them and because we need to show. And Chochmat Nashim has always been about showing an alternative to the extreme. Like, life doesn't have to be this way. It could be this way. And I really believe that visualizing, as you said, the way things should be helps people to know this is what I want. I want that. And then they can work towards that. And we see people doing that all the time. People use the images. People speak to their institutions, their schools, their shuls. I would like to be like this. Let's try this instead of that. And that is so powerful. But beyond that, it has taken Mishpacha and other magazines, Yatid, whatever you want to call them, 20 years to erase us. 20. I'm very much hoping that it'll take a lot shorter time for us to bring women back to the picture. And I believe that doing that is through visuals. Do I think Mishpacha is going to use them tomorrow? No. Has Mishpacha made strides and started putting little women here and there in their magazines? Absolutely, they have. There's no question. If you follow the Facebook groups, if you follow what's happening, not only do they have women in their digital edition, but they also are in the print. People, every time someone sees a woman on the page, they shout it out and they put it there. There is a backlash. It is moving. Don't think you can't make change. You 100% can make change. And we are making change. And I'm so proud of the fact that we repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat. And we talk about the damages and we say, this is not the way things should be. Let's get back to the way they should be. And if you're there waiting with open arms to say, welcome back to the way things should be, which is what I really want at the end of the day. I don't want to be an adversary to anyone. I don't want to be calling people out. I want to bring people back in and be like, where you been? You know, that's what I would like very much to be able to do. Not that Mishpacha is going to use it tomorrow, but I do see this change with people using them, appreciate and copying it, by the way. Copying, saying how this is so nice and I want to do it more. That's
imitation
really,
as the greatest form of flattery, right?
Exactly.
I am looking forward to the renormalization of women being in images across the frum world. Maybe not in the most Haredi and Hasidic of Haredi and Hasidic, but I think that the creep into the modern Orthodox world is beginning, or we have at least we have hopes of a beginning to be blocked, stunted, slowed, right, at the very least. And then we can remind people, our boys, you know, the men of our communities, whatever, that this is normal, that a picture of a woman, a tzanua dressed woman, a tzanua family should simply be normal, because it is.
Just to end on one, I want to bring something up that someone said to me. Isn't it worth it to remove women if the other things in Mishpacha or these other magazines can get into the most extreme homes, right? Like, it's a sacrifice that we should be willing to make.
Again,
and
with the sacrifice.
I was like, do you hear what you're saying? I said, it's ironic because what you're trying to do is bring moderation to the extremists. But what you're doing is bringing extremism to the moderates. You don't go back from that, right? Like, we already see when women's names are being erased from wedding invitations. Nuts! Wedding invitations. Who was it? It was, I think, Gaffney's kid. Gaffney's grandkid, I have to find the tweet, had a baby. And literally the tweet said, Mazel
Tov. MK to... Gaffney. There's a lot of Gaffneys in the
right.
world. Let's be clear.
There's MK Gaffney.
There's a Haredi politician in Israel who recently had
and they Mazel Tov his son on the birth of a kid. Or something like that. So I said, I hope he had an easy labor or something like that. It was just so clearly nuts. It was just like, but this is becoming the norm. And that's why we have to be like, stop. No, this is not the norm. Let's bring this back. I think that with all of these things, you know, from Lana to the Jewish Life Photo Bank and just speaking out, we have to remember that our voices matter. We have to remember that our speaking out matters. We have to remember that our visualizing the right way matters and showing up matters. And so wherever you can, whatever that means, whether it's using one of our images from the Jewish Life Photo Bank, let me know. I'm happy to give you a free download. You putting your actualizing what you want to see in your Jewish community is valuable and it will make a difference in your world and in our world. And we invite you all to take part in becoming what we want to see in our community.
So I just want to add or reiterate, I guess, this same point that the absence of the women makes the absence of women normal. And that becomes a problem. So the only way to remove that problem is to ease back in and say, this is normal. And it's got to be normal. And the only way we can keep everybody healthy, men, women, children, boys and girls, is to go that distance, right? You say, Shoshana, the argument that says we should sacrifice for the sake of bringing moderation to the extremists so they can become healthier themselves. And I want to say, let's remind ourselves of moderation for ourselves if we believe in moderation, and we do. Right. And we're not talking about racy images. We're talking about Sanua modest pictures. Right. We have to remember and remind people that seeing women and girls, both in our modern society, in our modern from society, and also in our publications, has been normal and needs to again be normal. And what that means is that for somebody for whom those images have become sexualized or have become too racy to bear, they need to look in the mirror and say something has gone wrong here when the normal people are no longer normal, that it's become the equivalent of something that's much more promiscuous than anything is, right? We're talking about, I'm coming back to your example, Shoshana, of the Shabbos table, right? We're talking about a Shabbos table where all of the people that I know who are concerned about such issues are at Shabbat tables with women and girls and daughters. It's not the kind of thing of Hasidim who have two separate rooms for the men and for the women. So if they can see the people in real life, they can see the people looking that way in publications. And I think the burden ends up being on the individuals, and people need to stop losing it over the drama of what happens if somebody were to see women because the Haredi Hasidic world has negated the women's presence. In the modern Orthodox world, the women's presence is not negated, and their photograph and their images and their names and so on cannot be negated.
And it's also okay to tell people to chill out. I know people don't want to do that, but
wait,
it really
Shoshana,
is okay.
I feel like I must mock you now, because if you had chilled out all this time, we would not be here today.
That's true. Don't tell me to chill out.
But I think you're exactly right. I think that if people can kind of ratchet down, as my mom used to say, if the temperature that is so warm outside cannot be so warm in our kishkas, if we can manage to settle ourselves about just what is normal. And it seems so ridiculous to have to say that.
Happy to hear your thoughts on either issue. This conversation will absolutely continue until we resolve this. So stay tuned. Thank you for being with us. See us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Chochmat Nashim, C-H-O-C-H-M-A-T-N-A-S-H-I-M.
Can you hear us now?